This morning I want to, before I really get into the sermon, I want to talk about something that's been on the hearts of many of us. That's the Bombers. Yeah, who? The Bombers suffered a humiliating defeat this week, but it's not the worst. Because the worst came in 1916 at Georgia Tech University. And that's the date and the place. On this particular day, and I believe it was April of 1916, Georgia Tech, their side was complete, and they were monsters. They were massive. They had eight guys over 300 pounds on their team. They were called the Yellow Jackets. They were gorilla-like. They were massive. And they were intent on building up a reputation of an unbeatable team. So they lured the lowly Cumberland team to the game. And they guaranteed that if you come to this game, we will pay you $500, but you got to play the whole game. So Cumberland came. And the Cumberland team had several players who had never played football before. The trip to Atlanta had been a disaster because Cumberland arrived with only 16 players because three of them were lost somewhere at a rest stop in Nashville. And the game began, and Georgia Tech scored 63 points in the first quarter. They were averaging a touchdown every 1 minute and 22 seconds. However, after such a lopsided start, the rest of the game was still filled with intense drama. No one questioned who would win, but Cumberland players, could they be convinced to finish the game to get that prize of $500? You could hear the coach, George Allen, pacing the sidelines, encouraging his team, "Hang in there for Cumberland. We need that $500. They did it. They got their $500, but they also got the title of the absolute worst score ever. 222-0. So the Bombers are doing not too bad. We've all been to a place where we've had to deal with giants. Giants like worry, doubt, fear, anxiety, depression, insecurity. Whatever it's been, we've wandered through those dry valleys looking for some answers. Sometimes we've come up empty. Sometimes we just don't even know where to begin. Sometimes we feel like David standing there before Goliath. Or do we? What was going through David's head when he approached Goliath? Was he like that person on that line against Georgia Tech going, "What am I doing here?" At one point in the Georgia Tech game, after a kickoff, out of pure exhaustion, the man dropped the ball. And he said to the guy beside him, "Pick up the ball." And he says, "No way, you dropped it." They were exhausted. They were short-handed. They were beat physically. But what was David like? We may feel like David standing in that intimidating shadow of Goliath. But the truth is, we have a choice. And we are faced with the question, who are we relying on to defeat our giants? And this morning we're going to look into 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we see probably the most famous battle of all history. You can walk up to just about any person on the street in North America and say the word Goliath, and they know exactly what you're talking about. Both this little boy who fought this giant, and the little boy won. They may know it was David, but everybody knows Goliath. I don't think we'll ever face a giant like Goliath, literally, in our lives. At least I don't think. Has anybody gone up against a giant like Goliath? I don't think so. Not in our time, at least. But we have our own Goliaths. We have to be able to defeat those mental Goliaths, those physical, those emotional and spiritual giants in our lives. The story in 1 Samuel 17 goes something like this. The Israelites and the Philistines met in the valley of Elah to battle. And the Israelites were on one side and the Philistines were on the other side of the valley, and they each had their battle lines drawn. And if one side wanted to relay a message to the other, they would send out somebody to taunt them or to send out their message verbally, because they were that close. You could hear the other people, the other army. They would send a soldier to the battle line and they would just call out whatever it is that they wanted to say. And the Philistines, they had this guy. His name was Goliath, and they sent him out to do their bidding. And every day for 40 days, twice a day, Goliath would step out of his ranks and go to the battle line, and he would trash talk Israel. Every day, twice a day. And in chapter 17, verses 4 through 7, we get a good description of what Goliath looked like. A good physical description. He was huge. He stood somewhere between 9 foot 9 and 11 foot 4, depending on how you use your cubits. Are your cubits 18 inches, which is the standard, or are your cubits the royal cubit, which is 21 inches? But he was 6 cubits and a span. And a span is a half a cubit, so it's another, 9 inches on top of 9 to 12 inches, whatever that works out. What's half of 21? I'm not good at math this morning. Whatever it is. 11 foot 4. He wore bronze armor that weighed 5,000 shekels, which we would understand to be about 125 pounds. The guy was massive to carry 125 pounds of armor. He wore these things called greaves, which are leggings to protect his legs, and they're made like scales. And some scholars think that because of the description of his outfit, that he may have actually been Greek. Because this is what the Greeks wore when they went to battle. But he was a little bit before that time, so they're a little confused where this guy got this style from. Maybe the Greeks stole it from the Goths. We're not sure. He had a javelin and a spear with an iron point on it. That point alone weighed 600 shekels or 15 pounds. He's throwing a spear with a beam as thick as a weaver's beam, which is like this. And he's throwing this thing, and the head of it weighs 15 pounds. So all of his armor is over 200 pounds. This guy was massive, and along with him, we find that there was his sword, or his shield carrier. He had another soldier just to carry his shield. He was massive, and he approached the battle line, and he wanted to play, let's make a deal. And he said to the Israelites, choose a man, any man to come and fight me. And if I defeat him in battle, you will become our slaves. But if someone can beat me, we will become your slaves. We will become your servants. And then he would stand there, and with all the gumption of a giant, he would say, I defy your God. I defy the ranks of Israel. The translation is, if you are too chicken to send someone to fight me, then your God ain't worth spit. Your God can't do anything. And do you know how Saul and his soldiers reacted to this? Verse 11 says that they were terrified. They were terrified. For 40 days, twice a day, Goliath would put on his show. And we see the reaction of Saul and his men again and again. They ran away in fear. And you can almost hear the Israelites saying, "Don't look at me. Not me. You ain't picking me. I ain't going against that thing. Have you seen him? Forget it. Not a chance that I'm going against that guy. I'll get killed. I don't want Israel's slavery put on my shoulders." But you know what? To fight battles of the Lord, it doesn't matter how big you are. The end of the day, the king was just as scared as every one of those men there. And according to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 19, the main reason Israel wanted a king in the first place was so that he would lead them, lead the armies into war and defeat the enemies. And they chose King Saul, who was a head taller than every other man in Israel. Saul was Israel's Goliath. He was the biggest guy around. And Saul himself ran in fear of Goliath. Because even if we put him a head taller and call him 7 feet tall for Saul, which I don't think he was, he's still a far cry from 9'9" or 11'4". But Goliath was not the only giant the Israelites were facing. I think the biggest giant that the Israelites were facing in their lives was a giant lack of faith. Even though God had brought Israel out of Egypt, even though God had raised up Joshua to lead them into the promised land, even though God had given them victory after victory after victory, they didn't have the faith that God could do it. They didn't think that they could defeat one man. They were focused on the size of the giant instead of being focused on the size of their God. Let me tell you, my understanding is God's a little bit bigger than 11'4". My understanding is God can carry a little bit more than 200 pounds of armor, and he doesn't need somebody else to carry a shield. My understanding is God is bigger. But when the people of Israel saw Goliath, they saw an invincible giant. But when David saw Goliath, he just saw this obnoxious bully. This guy who was really just pathetically arrogant, defying God. He saw an ordinary man who was no match for the Almighty God. And instead of saying, "Look at how big my giant is," David said, "Look at how big my God is compared to that giant. And look at how awesome he is compared to that piddly little problem in front of me." And in verse 32, David said this, "Let no one lose heart on account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Now, most of us know this story really well. David came in from the fields because his dad sent some stuff and they hadn't heard news. "Go send some food to your brothers. Take some food." And as he was still a ways off, he could hear the tauntings of this giant. And so he went and tried to find out, "Well, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. What is this guy doing?" And everybody's cowering and saying, "Get out of the way, he'll see you. Get back here. What are you, stupid? You think you want to fight him? Well, what's going on?" And his brothers actually get angry at him for asking questions. And the soldiers nearby are probably saying, "This little shepherd boy, he's going to go fight that guy? Give me a break. We're professional soldiers and we're scared to do it. What does he think he's doing?" And the king said to David, Saul says to David, "You're not able to go out against the Philistines and fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been a fighting man long before you were even born. David was probably 17 or 18, just a little bit too young to get into the army at age 20. But David refused to be brushed off. And in verse 34, he says this, "Your servant has been taking care of his father's sheep." Remember we talked about that preparation? "When a lion came and attacked the sheep, I killed the lion. When the bear came and attacked the sheep, I killed the bear. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Now I want to highlight just a couple of things here just for a second. Number one is this, God's preparation. God used all of David's previous experience as a shepherd to prepare him to face this giant. It was a huge challenge. But he prepared him for that. And the second thing is this, David had incredibly strong faith in God. And that stands in complete opposite contrast to King Saul's lack of faith in God. We got Saul on this side, and he says, "There's no way, I don't even know what to do, I'm the king." And then we got David over here going, "Oh, giant, okay, I'm going to kill him. Have no fear, your servant will go and fight him." And David, he listened to the king and he put on his armor and he said, modern translation, "Dude, you're size 50, I'm a size 32. It ain't going to work. The armor was way too big. I've never worn this stuff before, and it looks kind of goofy. Just let me do what I do." And he went down to the nearby stream, and he picked out 5 smooth stones, and he gets out his slingshot and his staff, the weapons that he knows how to use, the ones that he used to fight off bears and lions. And he heads out to meet Goliath, and Goliath, he looks down at David, and he says, "What, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks and stones? Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts and the beasts of the air. I am going to just annihilate you. You have insulted me. You send me this as your champion? Give me a break." And he was angry. Yeah, Goliath had the height advantage, the size advantage, the reach advantage, but David had several very important advantages that Goliath never had. The first one is this. Goliath was walking around with over 200 pounds of armor. I don't care how big you are, that's going to slow you down. Second thing, David had a slingshot. There are ancient warriors who were known to be deadly accurate with their slingshots. A skilled slingshot artist could fire one of those stones at approximately 100 miles an hour. 100 mile an hour stone coming at you. Let's see how fast you can dodge that one. It was the Old Testament type of bullet. And in Judges chapter 20, verse 16, it says the Benjamite army had 700 chosen men who could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. Where was David from? Anybody know? From Benjamin. He learned from these guys. He was good. He had the skills. He took a slingshot to a sword fight. It's kind of like taking a gun to a knife fight. He had an unfair advantage, but the giant didn't care. The third advantage was, and this is the biggest advantage of all, he had God on his side. What did Goliath have? He had his size and his strength, which is no match for God. And Goliath, trash talk. He says, "You come against," or David responded to Goliath's trash talk, and he says, You come against me with sword and spear and a javelin. And I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. And there he declares the fight is on, but the battle is not his. The battle belongs to the Lord, and he's going to do it. And David comes quickly up to the battle lines to meet Goliath, and he reaches into his little bag and he pulls out a stone and he puts it in his sling, and wham! His 100-mile-an-hour stone doesn't miss. And it nails him square in the forehead, and the battle is over. In a blink of an eye, Goliath was defeated. He was down on the ground. Now there are some who say, well, the stone, it didn't kill Goliath. I don't know, a stone coming at my forehead at 100 miles an hour is probably going to kill me. But if it doesn't, well, David just makes sure. And the whole armies are probably on the sidelines cheering or booing or in shock because of what had just happened. Knockout in the first round, and David walks over and he picks up this massive sword of Goliath's, PG rating here, and he slices off his head. And then he picks it up and holds it and says, my God did this. And they chased the Philistines all the way to the West Bank. Many people thought this was going to be an unequal contest because the Lord was really on David's side and the odds were totally in his favor. This morning I got to ask you, what are the giants in your life? What are the obstacles that leave you discouraged? Maybe your giant is a financial giant. It seems that as soon as you pay off a bill, there's two more there waiting. Or maybe your giant is addiction. You've been struggling with it for years and years. You've done everything in your power to try and break that habit, that addiction, but it's become such a large problem that you start wondering if you're ever going to have any victory in your life. Or maybe your giant is a person, not because they're 9 feet tall or 11 feet tall, but because they intimidate you. Their personality is strong, their tongue is sarcastic, their position is powerful. They have the ability is so great that you feel like a mental midget in their presence. And the normal reaction to these giants in our lives is to get discouraged and to give up ground. And David defeated the giant in his life. And if you want to slay the giants in your life, this is how we do it. Step one. Make a decision that you are actually going to go up against that giant. You have to decide, yes, I'm going to do it. Any one of those Israelites in the army could have gone against Goliath and won. Any one of them. Because God was on their side. But none of them chose to do it. None of them but David. He chose to go up against that giant. Maybe the giant in your life is an insubordinate little child. They don't respect you. They don't respect the rules of the house. And God is saying, it's time for you to face that giant. It's time for you to take back the house. It's time for you to lovingly and firmly reassert your role as a parent in the relationship. And I'm sure you figured out by now that your giants are not going to go away by themselves. I think the Israelites can relate to that The Bible says that every day for 40 days, Goliath would get up early and walk down to the valley and stare up at the rocks at the soldiers who were hiding behind them and call out his taunts. And deep down, they must have hoped that Goliath would just go away. Maybe he'll get bored. Maybe he'll just figure there's no fight here, we're just going to leave. That's what they were hoping. But day after day, Goliath came back. And day after day, our giants come back. They don't go away. But David made them realize that the only way this is going to be resolved is to say, I'm going to fight the giant. Step number two is this. Never assume what worked for somebody else to defeat their giant will automatically work for you. So rely on God's resources. David didn't ask for a sword like Goliath's sword. He didn't ask for a coat of armor like Saul's coat of armor. He simply used what God gave him. Sticks and stones and slingshots. Saul gave him his armor, but David takes it off and says he can't use it and do battle. It's too big. And David points at... The point is this. David did it the way God asked him to do it. God prepared him in such a way and said, this is how you're going to defeat your giant. God created you in a unique way. And that means when he sends you into battle against your giant, he's giving you the tools to defeat it. You just have to recognize those tools and use them. Never assume that, well, my friend did it this way. He quit smoking cold turkey. That's going to work for me. It may not. How does God want you to do it? And sometimes when we face problems, we say, if God had just given me something else, if he had just equipped me, if I had better friends, if I had better support, if I had a better degree, if I had a better whatever, if I had more money, that's it. Then I could defeat my giant. But David took his slingshot to a sword fight because he wasn't stupid. This is the tools that God gave me. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, his divine grace has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need is given to us by grace. We have Jesus Christ in our lives, and we already have everything we need to go up against that giant. We simply need to take God at his word. The third step is this. We need to trust in God's power. David expressed four times his trust in the Lord before, during that battle. Before and during that battle, he said, God is going to win this thing. My God will save me. And finally, he defeated the giant because he trusted in God to show him the way that he was supposed to do it. David had all the odds against him, including going up against someone who was twice his size, covered in full body armor. And all David had was five stones and a slingshot. But the lesson will always be the same. Never underestimate the ability of a heart committed to God. If your heart is committed to God, never underestimate that. David was committed to God, and God used him in a way that would change him forever. And the fourth step is this. Celebrate your victories. David had a kind of a disgusting way of celebrating his victories. In verse 51, it tells us that he killed Goliath, and then he cut off his head. And that act was symbolic of two things. First was the way of making sure that Goliath was dead, and second was the fact that David has Goliath's head to carry around like a trophy, to celebrate, to parade it around in front of everyone. But David also took Goliath's weapons, and he stood them up in his own tent. He took that massive javelin, and he took that massive sword to remind him of how God delivered him in that battle. It would also be motive for him when fighting future battles. Here's an odd question for you. Do you have a trophy case? Do you have a trophy case of your spiritual battles? Of how God has saved you in battle? Have you celebrated the victories in your life? All of the giants that we battle are designed to bring us closer to God. We can't go into battle and build up an impressive record of wins and go on thinking that we'll fight the battle under our own strength. Simply a call from God to stand up to the giants in our lives and be faithful to Him as we battle. Have you given your battles to God? Have you decided that God is going to win this battle for you? The battle belongs to the Lord, folks. It's not our problem. We need to learn that. If there is a battle, give it to God, and it's going to get taken care of. Are you still fighting giants of your own or on your own? We need to echo the call of David. The battle belongs to the Lord. At the end of Romans chapter 7, Paul is ready to give up the Christian life because of the law of sin at work within his members. But in one last desperate cry, he says these words, "Who will rescue me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Who's going to rescue me? Thanks to God, to Jesus Christ, because He's already won the battle. God has given you the resolve and the resources to go against the giants in your life. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to faith. Do you believe that God has the power to help you? Do you really believe it? Do you believe that the battle belongs to the Lord? Let's go before the throne of God this morning and ask Him to help us defeat the giants in our lives. In closing, I'm just going to ask you guys to take 30 seconds. 30 seconds before I begin to pray. And give those battles to the Lord. And ask Him for the strength and the courage to stand up against your Goliath. To show you the tools that He's already given you to defeat those giants. And to increase your strength and your trust in Him this morning, so that you can celebrate the victory over that giant. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that the battle belongs to You. That those giants in our lives can be defeated so easily by You. And Father, we just ask that You would give us the courage to go up against these giants in our lives. That You would show us the tools that You have already given us to defeat them. To make those tools so crystal clear to us that we know what it is that we need to do. Father, we ask that You would remind us that You are always there for us, and that we can put our trust in Your power. Help us to have a heart that is truly and totally committed to You, and to never underestimate Your power in our lives. And Father, as we go up against these giants, we thank You for the victory that You have already promised. We thank you that we can defeat our enemies and our giants and these things in our lives that are holding us back from a close relationship with you, because you've already beat them. Thank you, Father. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.